Hi and welcome to the Provider Podcast. My name's Adam Brimelow, and in this episode, we're marking Black History Month by talking to two trust leaders who've encountered and overcome structural racism and discrimination during their NHS careers, but have been part of progress, albeit too slow and with much further to go, in improving inclusivity and diversity at senior levels of the health service. In a moment, Selina Ulla, Chair of Derbyshire Healthcare NHS Trust, talks about her experiences in the NHS after she joined nearly 30 years ago when, as she puts it, no one in a position of authority looked like her. But first, let's hear from Faluke Ajayi, Chief Executive at Airedale NHS Foundation Trust. She began by telling me why diversity was such an important strength for the NHS.
The NHS does need to reflect the communities that it serves. And so with a diverse population across England, then it's really important that we have a diverse community that support and provides health and care into the communities that we serve. I think one of the things that I think is often lost on people is that whilst we all have the same red blood that's flowing through us, actually the way we deal with health and issues, cultural impacts, and we do know that genetics also play a significant part in the way that our bodies operate, how we respond to health. And so actually it's really important that people that understand us are part of the community that look after us as well.
And as part of that, there's a real emphasis, isn't there, the importance of diversity in leadership as well. Why is that such a key priority?
We're having this conversation because it's Black History Month. But if we park that for a moment, when we talk about what makes up a good team, we often talk about having people who have different approaches, different understanding, so that you can bring all the parts that make up the whole and can actually be better than the sum of its parts. And that's no different when you then bring in different levels of diversity. Having an understanding about the culture, the implications, having a richness of thought and approach also brings really useful conversation into the approach the leadership teams take. And I think when you're supporting significant numbers of people in your community, the NHS is often the main employer in a community, then actually we have a role to play in that context. That we steer the conversation, we steer the economic development, we steer the health and well-being of that local population. And that's why, for me, leadership, diversity in leadership is really important.
Yeah, we know that this has been a challenge, hasn't it, for the NHS? And still, diversity in leadership lags behind significantly where it needs to be. Why do you think that remains the case, and what now needs to be done to move things on?
So I think there are a range of reasons why that remains the case. I think we can't ignore the fact that racism is alive and well, has been alive and well. And whilst there has been improvements in recent times, it hasn't gone anywhere. And I think the interventions and the changes we need to make is right across a life course. If you are going to recruit leaders into senior roles, you do need to have them in the pipeline. And that's why I say the life course is really important. So if we start from the basics in terms of just a primary school and senior school, how children are educated, the potential that's identified, the opportunities that are placed in front of them is really important. There is no way we can expect young children to progress to become senior leaders and executives in the NHS if from day one they are told at school that the best you can achieve is to be a driver. As an example, nothing wrong with being a driver, but at the end of the day, if your ambitions aren't raised, you're not going to get there. So I think that's one thing. I think once we then start to see people coming through the pipeline, really investing in people from a whole range of backgrounds and showing them the opportunities, pointing them in the right direction to really help them get to where they need to be is really important. Our attitude as a community in terms of stamping out racism, in terms of allyship and how we support people to get to the next level, mentoring and support, pointing people in the right direction is really important. We cannot take that for granted, and I think we have done in the past. We all socialize in different ways. And for me, this is not about the color of your skin determining how you socialize, but I think it's recognizing that because we all socialize in different ways, we also need to recognize that in the way we interact with each other in the workplace and how we support people to get to the next level and encourage them, because not everybody puts themselves forward. And so we have to therefore lean in, notice the potential in people and really develop that potential to get them to the highest levels they can get to.
Luque, do you think that those lessons are being recognised and applied in the NHS now? How much of a journey does the NHS still need to travel to actually realise the types of scenarios, the types of steps that you describe there to lead to a fairer and more equitable leadership distribution across the NHS?
So I have to say, I have seen signs of improvement. I have seen signs of development. And certainly in my career, it's fair to say that through my journey to where I am today, in the early days and probably up until about 5 years ago, I used to be the only Black person in a room. And often I would arrive and people would ask questions about whether I was actually in the right place. That has changed, which is good news. And I am seeing more and more Black people in rooms that I'm engaging in, nowhere near where we need to be. But actually, we do need to recognize and celebrate that actually we're seeing steps in the right direction. There's a lot more that still needs to be done. So we cannot afford to be complacent. I think it's about continuing that effort, that commitment to really embrace diversity, to really look for skills and opportunity in its widest sense, to be committed not to appoint leaders and develop leaders in our own image, but actually as we continue to seek that diversity, that we're deliberate in our actions about how we develop people and move them in and point them in the right direction so that they can really excel and reach their potential.
For Luque Ajayi from Airedale NHS Foundation Trust. And so on to Selina Ulla, who's now chair at Derbyshire Healthcare NHS Trust. She told me how diversity in the NHS brings so many benefits for patients, staff and communities.
I think diversity is really important for the NHS because it brings diverse thinking. It helps to look at problems and with diverse perspectives, and ultimately it allows for a better solution. So I think having a diverse workforce is really important for the NHS because it enables the NHS to be more responsive to patients. It enables the NHS to get it right first time for patients and for service users and carers. And ultimately, it helps to remove duplication and remove waste. So it's a business sense as well. And ultimately, the more diverse we have in terms of our workforce, the more comfortable our patients will feel. So that patient experience will be better as well. So lots of positives, I think, comes with diversity.
And you've been talking there about the diversity of the workforce and the strength that that bestows. There's a real emphasis though also, isn't there, in terms of diversity and leadership and the advantages and the improvements that flow from that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I've been in the NHS for close to 30 years now. And when I first joined the NHS, there was nobody who looked like me in a position of authority. I was always the first trying to muddle my way through a system, which was quite closed actually for people who are from a different background. So having a leadership that reflects our workforce is really important because it enables people to feel that this organisation is for them, that there is opportunities for them in their career, that they will be afforded the same opportunities as everybody else because somebody who looks like them is at the top or somebody who looks like them is, you know, in a senior position. And I only realised how important that was when I was in a position of seniority and I was in a position of seen as having, you know, power or being in a very visible position, because people reached out to me, people from admin level upwards, who reached out to me and actually said, "We are so happy to see you in that position. You know, it's really made my day," or "I can't believe how proud I feel seeing somebody like me in a position as like that." So it, you know, representation does matter. It gives people confidence that they too can achieve and aspire, and they are right to want that for themselves or for somebody they know. Because all too often, we hear about the snowy white peaks, we hear about glass ceilings. So when we have diversity in our leadership, it gives hope, it gives confidence, it enables people to have aspirations, and it does work, because the profile of organizations starts to change when you have people in senior leaderships who are from a diverse background, because again, naturally people think this organization values diversity. I can apply for that and I will have a good chance of being successful. So at Derbyshire Healthcare, we have one of the most diverse boards probably in the country. And that is, you know, in the tier below the board. It's, you know, getting better at the tier below that. We already reflect way above the population in our workforce. But the seniority of people in the organization, that is also changing. And that's a real positive, because the leadership has been from a diverse background, both the chief executive and myself. You know, we come from BAME backgrounds. So that has worked, but I think it's also about intention, being mindfully intentional about having a diverse board leadership. It's only when you have that, then things start to happen and it's visible and it gives the right message to the workforce.
Yeah, and you talk about intention there. One aspect of that, I suppose, is white allyship and the contribution that white colleagues can make to address some of the obstacles that you were describing. How important do you think that is in terms of bringing about the sorts of changes that you've encountered? And of course, there's still a way to go in terms of overcoming those obstacles across the NHS.
I think it is changing, because from the position that I was in 30 years ago to now, there are trust chairs, there are chief executives, there's medical directors, chief nurses, you know, so that representation has begun to happen. And a lot of that happens and has happened because of strong allyship. I was very lucky to have a chief executive who, even though I was not an executive, I was just a manager in the organization. He was incredibly supportive to me. He gave me access to him and to the executive. He listened and tried to understand how it felt for me in an organization that was predominantly white and was, again, I was the most senior person of color, as a manager, not as anything above a manager. So I think maybe siding is the wrong word, but, you know, having that visible allyship, the fact that you listening, trying to understand what the issues are, and then taking that into the board space and enacting changes which made things better for me and people like me in the organization. That's allyship. It's being willing to be challenged and not taking offense of that challenge, not taking it personally, but actually reflecting and thinking, actually, this is wrong, or structurally there are barriers and there are things which I can do to help and support. But it's always about being guided by others rather than thinking that I know I have the answers and I'm going to sort it out, because that might be the wrong solution.
Yeah, and you describe a situation of progress there, and encouragement, which is great to hear. What, though, do you think are the consequences of inaction, and where we see that there hasn't been an actively anti-racist approach? What happens when there isn't that purposeful will to address these issues?
It leads to a demoralized workforce. I see it so much on social media, where we have different staff groups, nurses, junior doctors, senior doctors, talking openly about how disenfranchised they feel, how the culture of toxic cultures in workplaces, how it impacts on them, how they feel the racism, how they experience it on a day-to-day basis from not only patients, but also from their work colleagues and managers, and how they want to leave the NHS. You know, they have a game plan on how they want to leave the NHS because it's no longer enough to do a job that's making a difference for patients.
That's really disappointing to hear, isn't it? How optimistic are you that we can continue to make the kind of progress that you described earlier in our conversation and get to where we need to be?
I think we have to act on all the recommendations that we've had over time. We've had so many reports. The latest one is the Messenger report. We have to act on it. We have to act on it, and we have to hold ourselves accountable. And where we have, you know, awards like that, giving accolades to certain organizations where, you know, the data isn't great on certain aspects of race, ethnicity, we have to call it out. You know, we can't say, actually, you're not doing so well, but you're a great chief executive, or you're a great trust. All of it has to align.
Selina Ulla, bringing an end to this edition of the Provider Podcast. I hope you found this very engaging and insightful conversation. Remember, you can join in by following us on Twitter and LinkedIn at NHS Providers with the hashtag The Provider Podcast, and keep up to date on future episodes by subscribing to the podcast. Thank you.